When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is your Commander-in-Chief. I'm issuing a warning. The following podcast contains adult content and intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me. T-Rex is here.
Hi.
We got Alan Juban in studio.
Good to be here.
Coming off a robbery. I mean, he came in here naked. He had no clothes. He got everything was robbed in Brazil. We're going to talk about that. How's everybody doing? How was your week, T-Rex?
My week was fantastic. We had a show together.
Yes.
This was a lot of fun down at the Naval 32nd Naval Base in
San Diego.
Yeah.
That was a good time.
It was a good time.
You got in trouble for being too dirty.
Oh, fuck that bitch.
Yeah, it was we did a show for the Navy.
How is that too dirty? He has a joke where he says, "Have you ever been eating a girl's pussy and you think you're getting real wet and then realize you just have a runny nose?"
I know.
Nothing I said is way anywhere near that.
I know, and then you got yelled at.
And I got yelled at for
that. That's pretty bad.
But that was fun. That was great. The Navy guys were great. They were a lot of fun. And then what else? What'd you do?
Just basketball tournament with my daughter.
Basketball tournament.
And team won
nice.
Championship.
She
played for a 13-year-old team, too.
And she keeps getting older, but next thing you know, she played for the Lakers this week. And
she probably could the way they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
They're terrible.
Yeah. Let's see, my week. That was great. I had a show at the Improv, which Alan came to.
Yeah, nice show.
Headlined the Improv Friday night. It was a crazy show. It was like Mauro Ranallo was there. And the fight professor, Steve Quadros. And Mauro Ranallo, hanging out with him, talks exactly like he does.
Would you like another drink?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, Mauro. Hey, your show was amazing, Adam. That was the greatest show I've ever seen in my entire life. Oh, and that's a terrible impression, but that's exactly how he is, which right. is, like, yeah. so funny. And then there was these, like, porn star couple in the front. And I was like, anybody like it in the face? And the girl's like, I like it when it's in my eye. It was just insane. There was a creepy guy in the corner who was getting undressed the whole show.
Was that Mauro Ranallo?
No, it was not Mauro. And then Alan was there with his wife, who is this smoking hot Asian girl.
Thank you. Oh, man.
That was great. And then that was fun. That was cool. And then it was actually pretty funny because I put on the Underground. I got a show coming up. And people are like, oh, I'm going to come. We're going to – and then the, like one guy's like, oh, I'm sitting behind this table, right, behind the piano. So I look over. There's this like big burly guy with a beard. I'm like, oh, that's got to be him. And I'm busting this guy's chops saying, how hot is your wife and how ugly are you? Like, oh, I'm figuring it's funny. Turns out that guy is a Bellator fighter, Manny Bam Bam Lara, and I had totally the wrong guy. But thank God the guy was a good sport. But holy shit, that could have went really bad.
The guy with the beard at the show was a Bellator fighter.
Yeah, heavyweight.
Yeah, I remember you kind of picking on him a little bit.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. That guy was actually he's 4-4-1. He works for AT&T, but he actually might fight Crow Cop New Year's Eve.
When you say AT&T, American Top Team.
No, like he works for the phone company.
Phone company.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Though, yeah. So you know he can't connect.
AT&T.
Yeah. Right. Oh, AT&T.
And it was hard though because I was doing comedy and obviously my accent a little blue and it was like one of the kids that I coach. His parents came, and they're sitting right in the front row, and it's just so weird because it's like two different types of part of my life, where I have like the coach and the role model and like this, and then I have the parents, and I'm like, yeah, who does mushrooms here? And I'm looking over at it's just like, they're like young, cool, hip parents, but right. I'm like, oh man, I hope they don't pull their kids immediately. going, this is my kid's coach, so that was
that. You're doing comedy and coaching wrestling. It's not like you're at Penn State coaching football and boning kids.
That's a good point. way to make it.
See, just the comparison makes it better.
That was oh, thank you.
That was not. It was great.
So no matter
telling jokes, he's not doing Sandusky.
Well, at least I'm not fucking kids. Like, that's gonna be my new. Anytime anything goes wrong. Oh, hey man, I could be fucking kids right now.
What the hell?
That's going to be great. I'm going to try.
It's all about perspective.
I'm going to make an illegal right. The cop comes over. Hey, you went through a line. At least I'm not fucking kids. So that's going to be my way of getting out of a ticket. But yeah, you're right. I understand. There's this one girl who came to the show. There was this girl, Shaney Rush. She's like a trainer. She's 1-0 as a pro. Could be the hottest girl I've ever seen in my life. And she wants to be a fighter. She is this girl, Shaney Rush. She wants to be a fighter. She was going to have for the Ultimate Fighter, but she got a herniated disc or something. She puts them all to shame. I introduced them to Tomorrow and Quadros. They're like, you want to be a fighter? Holy. Like, they were like, their eyes bulged out. They're like, you're going to get signed immediately. This girl, and she's like so hot that you automatically assume you have no shot at her. Like, one of those girls you meet, you're like, she's not going to fuck me. And not that I would try to, but you just like, there's no way. But yeah, so she's crazy. Funny story about coaching wrestling before we get into to Alan, which I want to talk to. So yesterday, it was the second. It was the first day of the second term for wrestling. A lot of the football kids came, which was great. And this little black kid, I'm like, hey man, so do you have a girlfriend? Can you say a little black kid, or is it a kid who happens to be black? I don't even know the right way to say it now. I was like, hey, so do you have a girlfriend? Right? He goes, nah, man, I have one, but I'm gonna ask out this Mexican chick, right? I go, he's 12. I go, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, man, I'm done with black girls. I was like, you're 12 years old. I'm like, you shouldn't cut up a whole race. He's like, yeah, man, black girls are too much drama. I was like, the kid's 12 years old. At the time, it was really funny. It was like, I didn't know what do I say to that. I'm like, you know, you should. Well, I'm like, well, I date black girls. I'm trying to relate to him and sort of be, you know, I didn't know what to say. I was like, Kurt's sister's hot. And that was like the coach's sister. Oh, he's like, well, you know, wait till I'm 18. It was the kid's funny, really funny. All right, so. We got to talk about Alan. So Alan Juban, who I knew from 10 years ago, my first – I remember you, basically your first week of training. Yeah. We used to train over at Legends. And, you know, I always thought you were going to be a good fighter. I never thought you were going to be a UFC fighter. But I never thought – I mean, you know.
Thanks a lot, yeah. No,
I'm not saying you have the talent, but you came in there. You were a model and an actor. You had all this stuff going for you. You had great stand-up. I knew you from wrestling. I'm like, okay, I'm sure wrestling is dramatically improved. But I'm like, okay, this guy's going to be good. You make the UFC. I'm like, wow, that's great. Your first fight, you come in there. Insane. You get hurt. You come back. First round. Amazing. Then they put you to Brazil. You fight a guy who's, I think, undefeated.
Yeah, undefeated. Yeah.
Undefeated. Won the Ultimate Fighter in Brazil. You went from literally the RFA to the Ultimate Fighter to co-headlining an event in Brazil. And then you go in there against a guy, and he comes out there and just fucking steamrolls you in the first. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. You were hurt. You come back and beat the shit out of him the second and third. To the point where the announcers, which never say, man, Alan won that fight. I mean, Kenny Florian said, look, you know, this guy's good. Alan won that fight. Mm-hmm. The next day, Joe Rogan goes, Alan Juban won that fight. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, Rogan's not really going to say that on Twitter unless he means it.
Right, right.
So what's going on? What are you thinking? Tell me about the whole experience.
Yeah, I mean, you summed it up. I feel like it was a great opportunity for the UFC to put me in the... I mean, you know, fights got dropped. It wasn't like they put me in that spot. A couple fights fell out, and then next thing I know, I was co-main event. So first time in Brazil, first time fighting in Brazil, fighting an undefeated guy. A guy that was trying to bring up. He won the Ultimate Fighter and Warley Alves. And then so co-headlining the event, it was a big opportunity. I just knew that, you know... Obviously, I'm going for the win, but I just wanted to put on a good show and, you know, kind of show the UFC that they could put faith in me. And so I feel like we did it. You know, we put on a good show, an exciting fight, but I definitely feel like I won the fight. I don't feel like I got robbed so badly that it was like – it wasn't any comparison to, like, the Diego Sanchez fight where it was a clear cut. But, I mean, if you go back and watch the fight, you know, you can give him the first round. I think I definitely got the second round, and the third round was pretty obvious that I won. So it was – it was disheartening to not get the W, and more than that, not only not get the W, but, you know, to go all the way to Brazil for a week and then to come home with a lot less money in my pocket was pretty, you know, disappointing. Not only did we were very close to getting fight of the night, but they didn't give us that, and then I didn't get my win bonus as well. So that was a shitty part of it. But, you know, one of the things I did take from the fight was that this guy, Warley Alves, steamrolled all of his opponents up until then. I think he was 8-0. He was fighting at 185 and just killing his opponents. I don't think anybody had won a round against him yet. And then so to go into the fight against me, and he kind of gave it everything he had in the first round, kind of hurt me. And then his money move is the guillotine. He couldn't finish me with the guillotine. After that, I think I broke him. You know, he was looking for ways out of the fight, looking at the clock all the time, asking for, saying that he got poked in the eye numerous times. So,
He was looking for a way out.
So one good thing that I did take from the fight is that, a tough guy with all that momentum behind him, a 23-year-old kid who's never even lost a round, I broke him that fight.
Now, when you get to Brazil a week, right, now, are you training in Brazil? How are the facilities? Are they treating you like an American who's going to lose?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to the hotel was not the nicest hotel I've ever stayed in, that's for sure. But we had a good reception, man. This gym, Garden, I think it's called Garden Fight Club or something like that. Some people that Kenny Johnson knew took us in, and we were training there. And they brought us there. I don't know if they brought us there to lose or whatnot. But by the end of the show, even though I didn't get the victory in the judges' eyes, we kind of won over the Brazilian crowd, which is, from as far as I know, kind of unheard of, to see a Brazilian crowd boo their own guy, which is what happened after the fight. When they announced him as the winner, the Brazilian crowd sort of booing him. So, that melted.
Now, when you're walking out there and the whole, like, arena is booing you, right? They were yelling, like, you're going to die.
You will die, yeah, in Portuguese. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Now, what are you thinking of that? Are you nervous? Are you scared? Like, if I'm walking out there and the whole arena is yelling, you will die, I mean, it's got to be, like, a lot of people probably lose at that moment. They're like, you know what? This is too many. This is crazy.
Well, he doesn't speak Portuguese, so he's good.
Yeah, I don't understand him, so that helps a little bit. Yes, you just kind of tune it all out. But it does make it kind of gladiator-ish, knowing that there's, thousands of people chanting, you will die, you will die. It makes it a little bit more, a little crazier that way when you think of it. But me personally, I fed off of the energy. It started at weigh-ins. As soon as they walked out at weigh-ins and they were chanting, you will die, in Portuguese, I really enjoyed the energy. When they would get quiet, it was almost awkward. So I really was trying to feed off of the energy. And like I said, I think we pretty much won them over at the end. So if I ever do go back and fight in Brazil, I think we established a lot of new fans.
By the way, I didn't mean to insult you by saying I didn't think that you were going to make the UFC.
That's okay. That's fine. I was like, not mad at you.
All right, good. Now the thing is, now in that first round, when he was just teeing off on you, how hurt were you?
Man, the guy's a beast. We knew he was going to come out aggressive. We trained for that. Every time that we would go into a sparring session, I'd put my most aggressive sparring partner in the first round with me, so I would get used to a quick start. Because they didn't want me to turn this into a Rocky fight, which I normally do. But, I don't purpose to do that. But I have a way of getting
every single fight.
I know. It's ridiculous. So we were completely prepared. Props to my coaches. We did everything perfectly and leading up to the fight. And they had me soundly ready for this fight. But he just came out so freaking aggressive, man. And what happened was, really, he kind of caught one of my kicks and threw an overhand simultaneously. Knocked me off balance. And then from there, he just went berserk and tried to finish me right away. And he didn't get the finish. He had a tight guillotine, didn't get that. But once we got up, I kind of figured, I just weathered the storm. And I escaped his best move, his guillotine. And I think he won the entire Ultimate Fighter with a guillotine. He couldn't finish me with the guillotine. So I got up pretty confident. And I could see right away he was starting to gas. And when I cracked his rib at the end of the first round, hit him with a liver kick. And I think he ended up cracking his rib. From there, it was just downhill for him.
Was your wife with you in Brazil?
No, man. I didn't bring her. Right now, I'm still in the stage of my career where when I go fight, it's all about business for me. And it was just too expensive, to be honest. I mean, it was expensive, and it was 24 hours of flying, 3 flights to get out there. It was a horrible trip to get out there, so I didn't want to put them through that.
It was so funny seeing his wife in the crowd. He's sitting there, Alan. And I go, this is my friend. I'm on the stage. I go, this is my friend Alan. This is how crazy my friends are. The guy's a model and an actor, and he's like, I'm gonna get punched in the face for a living. And everyone's laughing, and like his wife is like this Asian, beautiful. She's laughing at every dirty joke. I'm looking over at his wife. She's laughing. Alan's like embarrassed. And his wife is completely perverted, which is good.
As soon as she said I had a hot wife, everybody then started to look back. They didn't care how I looked. But, he has a hot wife. Let's check her out.
Well, it was awesome. And I mean, you're really coming into your own. I get a little nervous that you're taking too many shots. You got to be careful because, you can get old overnight getting punched like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's something I've been trying to avoid and working on. And like I said, I think we did everything in preparation this fight. That guy was just one of the I mean, one of the highest percentage of coming out aggressive type fighters. That guy was, you know, at the top of the list for aggressive in the first round. So it was hard to avoid it with him.
Let me ask you this. And I know this is a pretty obvious question. Do you think that if that fight was in the United States, the exact same fight, do you think you would have took that fight?
I mean, I would hope so. I think, honestly, when I go back and look at it, the judges, I don't think they were, I mean, who knows what happened. You know, maybe they were influenced by the crowd. Maybe they, you know, I don't want to say that they were influenced otherwise. I don't think it's that crooked. But I think what happened literally was the second round, he complained, my opponent, Worley Alves, complained of like three or four different fouls, eye pokes and low shots, and maybe one of them legitimate. And so what happened was I would be beating him up, landing combos, and then he would throw real wild shots which weren't landing. And then I would throw something and he would complain of a foul. And he would, in other words, he was killing the momentum of the fight. And so he would kill the momentum, we'd have an exchange, he'd kill the momentum, have an exchange. And so killing the momentum like that, every time I would land stuff and then he would call a foul and the ref would have to stop the momentum, I don't think the judges were seeing what I was doing. You know, as I would build momentum, he would stop it again, build momentum, stop it. So it didn't look as obvious to the judges in the judges' eyes how much damage I was doing. But when you look at the copy stat numbers, I outstruck him every single round, even the round that I lost. So
I think it was kind of a – I mean, I know it sucks the money-wise because you probably could – you know, the fight of the night bonus you should have got, the win bonus you should have got. But I think in a way you gained so many more.
Champ.
You're the people's champ. You know, everyone knew that knows that you won. I wouldn't even consider it loss. You know, and it's one of those things. It's, you know, it's as close to winning without really winning as you can.
I agree, man. And like I said, it sucks that you know, I made a lot less money this fight than I did my debut fight. But I've been showing a lot of love. What's that?
How much do you make
for this fight?
Man.
I can't tell you that, man. How much do you make?
Not much.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, yeah.
Not as much as I
should. I didn't make much either because I just made my show bonus, my show purse, and that was it. So, you know, going in my debut fight, I made my show win and fight of the night bonus. So,
right.
It was considerably a lot more money. But, you know, like you said, I agree, man. I got a lot of fans. I've been showing a lot of love for my peers, other UFC fighters, and that means a lot. You know what I mean? Guys I don't even know have been coming out on Twitter and saying that I won and this and that. So, I've been showing a lot of love. And I think, like you said, Dana White, Joe Rogan, Kenny Florian, those guys kind of agreed that I won the fight. So, yeah, it's as good of a loss as you can have, I guess.
Yeah. You just do that first round, man. You guys got to be careful.
Got to get out of there. I know. I used to be a fast starter, and now I just kind of like to take my time.
Were the judges chanting, "You will die on your own"?
That should have been the tell sign.
The telltale sign.
I actually banged the girl last night and started chanting, "You will die," halfway through sex.
So you weren't wearing rubber?
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, that's crazy. Now, did any Brazilian chicks hit on you? Cause I know you're a good-looking American. They probably look at you and they're like, "Oh."
Yeah, you know, I had a I discovered, what is that thing that we discovered while we were there?
He's like, yeah.
What did we discover? Crabs.
I discovered Insta message while we were there because we're bored. There's nothing to do but go to the mall. So we discovered Insta message. So all we would do is get on Insta message and see what people were in our area that wanted to chat. And yeah, there's a lot of chicks trying to chat with us. And you know,
and then when you're like, "Hey, I'm married," was that really hard for you?
I didn't respond. I would let them like my profile and then. I just wanted to see how many likes I would get.
You're a tease, man. You're like a chick.
I was a tease in Brazil, yeah.
Oh, God, man.
That's something that a good-looking dude does. Like a dude, that ugly guy doesn't see. Let me see if any girls won't like my picture.
Let me go to Instant Message to see chicks.
Yes, nobody.
Let me go to Brazil. Let me go to Brazil to see how many chicks want to fuck me. And then
and they'll turn them down.
They'll turn them down. I won't respond.
The first ugly broad that says, "I'll fuck you." I'm like, "All right, where are you?"
At least send over T-Rex and the cooks want to fuck you. They're like, "You know what? It's not him, but you know he's here. Might as well."
Might as well. I thought Brazil had a pretty good amount of good-looking girls, though, you know? Like, I think the supermodels are already picked out and went over to the bigger cities. But as far as all the average amount of girls out there, they were all, you know, good little sevens, I guess you would say.
Sevens.
Curvy body, cute face. Hung out at the mall. That's all we did.
He didn't go to the favelas, I guess, right?
Yeah, I didn't go to... Yeah, I wasn't in the favelas.
He was hanging out in the resort.
I mean, there's no really weird looking girls there that we saw.
I think Brazilian 7 beats a Hollywood 8.
You think so?
I think so
too. But yeah, I know the most cute girls. To me, the hottest girls in the world are from Brazil. I mean, 7. I'll take a 7 out of 100.
His 7 is probably way different than our 7.
Yeah. Alan's 7 is like, Adriana Lima is a 6.5, you know. Man. Yeah, I actually, so UFC 180, I got invited to Justin Bua, who's coming over our, coming to our podcast. You know who that is?
Yeah, of course.
Very, so he's going to come on in 2 weeks down to the studio. Nice. He's this artist, very famous artist. He does
Piano
a lot of.
Man, jazz. He always does these crazy pictures.
Yeah, yeah. He has like a great Chael one, great Ronda one. He has all his artworks in the Ultimate Fighter house. So he invites me to his house to watch the fights. So I'm watching with him and this guy, Ken Swift, who's like this like. World famous b-boy, you know. I don't really follow breakdancing, but I guess he's like one of the best ever. And some other guy's a photographer, and I enjoyed watching it. But it's a lot to me. It's you miss it when you watch it alone on my computer and I hear everything versus at like a party. I forget what it's like being at a party watching fights.
Was it a few fellas?
It was like a few guys, but everyone's talking. There was, you know, the kids are running. She's got this great daughter. It's an adorable daughter, but she's, you know. But it's funny because all the things that I found entertaining about it. Well, one of the part of the things she loved it, like the guy crapping his pants in the first round. She's like, rewind it. So it's me and like a 10-year-old girl. Like, and then the girl's ear squirting. I'm like, she's like, oh my god, you know. It was really right. funny. Like, and then we're all watching it, but it was like you miss a lot. You miss like the commentary at when you go to bars or I kind of like it's a different experience. I wouldn't say it's better or worse. It's just different, you know. So I had to then rewatch it again when I got home to the text chat. So that's like it took me to like I was done at like 8 o'clock in the morning because I went to a party to watch it and rewatch it. It's a whole different.
Same thing with watching it live. I mean, when you go to a show, you get a different aspect because you get to feel the energy and kind of the momentum more than people do on TV. But you don't get all the inside, you know, commentary.
But they have these little headsets that you can buy.
When you go to a live show?
When you go to live, yeah, they gave them to
me. Yeah, but who wants to do that?
And you put one in, yeah. And you get Joe Rogan and everything talking. It's kind of like...
That's like an old serious.
Man thing. Was that?
That's like the old man.
No, I don't want to do that.
You hear all
like you go to the, you ever go to binoculars. Like a football game? You ever go to yeah? You ever go to a football game and like the dude sitting next to you is like this old 50-year-old right. dude and he's got the AM yeah. radio in his ear? Oh,
that God. Takes away from it to yeah. me. I don't know. If I'm there, I want to be there. I don't want to yeah. be there and hear Joe Rogan. No disrespect to Joe Rogan, but you know I want to be either or. You
right,
know.
Right.
But I understand.
That's the good thing about the earbud. You can take it out.
Oh, you're such a... yeah. That's because he is an old man. That's an old man thing because T-Rex is 80. All right. So anyway, so I watched the fights with those guys, which is cool. We'll talk about the main event. We'll go through the whole fights. The main event, Hunt versus Verdum. Like I said, Hunt hits harder than Nick Diaz's bong. Guy hits hard. And he
I
was.
I did not see that fight going that way.
You know what? It's weird because I think if Hunt wasn't so short, Verdun doesn't land that knee, you know, and then that whole fight changes. And it's not like I'm not making fun of his vertical, you know, but it's just like it was like that perfectly timed knee. He wouldn't have got that knee on a taller guy. If he was fighting Josh Barnett, he doesn't land that knee. And Hunt was winning that. I mean, not only winning, he was whooping him, and right. he was throwing punches. But everybody was like, "Ooh!" Even punches he was missing. I'm, ooh, whoa! I mean, it was unfortunate because Hunt was that fight to me shows that I think Cain's gonna run through Verdum because he was getting dominated by a guy who I don't think is as good as. Cain Velasquez.
Right.
Thoughts?
I think I kind of agree, man. I hate to say it. I'm a fan of Verdum, and I think that he's a machine right now. He's at the peak of his career. But yeah, when I saw Hunt barely, or actually, he landed a couple of those overhands. He landed a few overhands, and he missed a couple of them that would have been home run shots. When I saw the same thing, I realized, wow, he's gonna have a real tough time dealing with Cain.
Right. Well, I didn't even think about Cain during that fight. I just was thinking about Mark Hunt catching him with one of those overhand rights, and I thought that's how the fight was going to end. Like he was going to catch one on the jaw and be asleep, but it didn't turn out that way. And we even talked about that beforehand.
Yeah. No. I picked Verdum. The rest of you guys picked Hunt. I picked Verdum. I didn't pick Verdum by stoppage though. I mean, but you know, I wanted Hunt to win. Hunt's the more fun guy to win. Hunt also afterwards said, I got to go. I'm having marriage problems. I have to go home and get to my wife, which there's something very pure about Mark Hunt, where it's like what you see is what you get. Right. You're not going to get, oh, Mark Hunt's two-faced. You're going to get Mark Hunt, which I think people really like to see. And they can identify with a guy like that,
yeah.
Right. which is really cool to see. But the guy loses 40 pounds in 2 weeks. You know, he comes into a fight with a puncher's chance and almost does it, has marriage problems. I mean, he's a guy that on Twitter 2 months ago said, I'm done fighting. I'm retiring. It's not working out. And then 10 minutes later goes, sorry, I was just hungry. I mean, he obviously has some emotional issues. I mean, as probably a lot of fighters do. Right. But
I remember when I was out in Vegas and Ray Seffel was bringing him by. He brought some fighters by and was bringing Mark to the show. And Mark didn't want to come because he was like, are there going to be smoking in the casino? I can't be around cigarette smoke. And he refused to go out in the casino. I can't go in there. They're smoking in there.
Yeah, no, Hunt.
He's just like a pure dude. Like
very pure dude. And, you know, I like him. But a guy that, like, you know, I think fighting every 2 months is good for him in a way because it keeps him out of trouble. Right. He's a guy that if you don't see for a year, I could see Mark Hunt murdering somebody in the street or something.
Keeps him on track.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he's as like Tyson-esque, but I mean, you can't tell me you can't see Mark Hunt, somebody spilling a beer on him and being an asshole, and then that guy just being like, you know, I mean, something about Mark Hunt is very dangerous.
They keep him in a cage, keep him off the street.
Exactly.
it's not for him, it's for us.
Yeah. Now, the fight that I don't want to talk about.
Jeez, come on!
But we're going to have to, is Jake Ellenberger, one of my best friends, our co-host. All right, so Jake Ellenberger.
Say it, man. It has to be said.
It has to be said. Jake's got to get a new camp.
Come on, Jake. Get out of there.
Listen, Jake Ellenberger is a very talented and probably the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. I mean, just a kind,
super nice guy.
Soul. Got a guy that will like sit there. I've been there when a homeless guy asks him for money. Not only gives him money, talks to the guy for 20 minutes. Gives to so many charities. Is such an easily influenced guy, though. He almost like naive to a fault, where believes people when they talk to him. I mean, anybody that talks to Jake, he will listen and give you the time of day. He's that respectful person. The guy's been through a lot. A Marine, like I said, the guy walked on his college wrestling team with no wrestling experience. I mean, who the fuck does that? I mean, I couldn't handle college wrestling, and I was a four-time state champ. I mean, yeah, prep school, New England. All right, but still, okay. So that's how tough Jake Ellenberger is. He will get through it. However, there's two types of coaches. And I know from going to acting classes. I know from being a wrestling coach for 10 years. Granted, I'm a middle school wrestling coach, okay? But I'm still a fucking coach, okay? Coach is, yeah, all right, 10 years. It might be even harder to coach kids that have never done a sport in their life than to actually coach whatever. What Marina has told me on the podcast, she said it, is that Edmund, you know, has this whole thing where he tries to break you down and rebuild you in his, I would say, in his likeness or how he sees a fighter should be. I think when you're dealing with world-class athletes, that's a big mistake. Yeah. Because they're already coming from a place of they're top 10 in the fucking world.
They got there because of some success.
They're already there.
Exactly.
And what I'm seeing with Edmund, and this is hard for me to say this because A, Jake's my co-host. B, Marina's the new co-host. They both were for Edmund. Ronda Rousey's mom came on the show. She's a friend of mine. Ronda's a friend. However, look, what am I going to do? Am I going to be a biased guy and just tell you what you want to hear? Because I'll say it if they're here. I've said it to them. Is that, you know, Jake Ellenberger is not a fucking boxer. And I'm not saying he can't punch, but he's not a boxer. And if you look at the people that he's – Jessamyn Duke, 0-2 since being with Edmund, striking. Shayna Baszler, getting into boxing matches with Betch Carré. Marina, second-degree black belt in judo, gets into a striking contest with a girl who's 1-2 and gets stopped. Manny Gambarian losing to Cody Gibson for two rounds, almost getting stopped, finally pulls off a guillotine. And now Jake 0-2 with this. Maybe this whole system of rebuilding people and to try to is not working.
Because what he's doing is he's melting tools that are already working well.
And he's
melting them and then building them back up into some other kind of tool that's not as strong as the first ones were.
Fucking Ronda Rousey is basically what Hoyce Gracie was back in the day when UFC 1 is what Ronda Rousey is now. And it's no disrespect to the other girls, but she's just in a different class. You know, and Ronda Rousey, like I said, mom used to wake her up with arm bars when she was 2 years old. And she was sleeping, and her mom would go, always be ready. And you can't get that kind of fucking training. And Ronda Rousey is a world-class athlete, and she's breaking people. And Edmund might be good for Ronda. Sometimes you get a coach that's good for one person. But it doesn't mean you're good for everybody. And when I saw Jake in there, he was bobbing and weaving and this and that. He was landing good combinations, but they were boxing combinations in a way of like before. It was actually worse technique in my – and this is all coming from a fucking stand-up comedian, so take it with a grain of salt. But he was showing Johnny Hendricks fucking hooks, which were knocking out Nate Marquardt and knocking out other fighters versus straight rights, which are landing, but they're not as – they're not hurting people as much. Kelvin walked through those fucking straight rights because his whole body wasn't behind it because he was throwing them like a boxer. And then he gets taken down, and then Jake starts overthinking. And that's when you start overthinking when you're down is because you have too many coaches telling you too much shit. And you're not just relying on your instinct. And I think that Jake needs to, if he wants to keep fighting, needs to go to a Black Zillion, a American Top Team, an AKA, even if it's back to Rain, go to Team Alpha Male, wherever you need to go where he's not the best guy in the room. And he's not the only MMA guy in a fighting gym with a bunch of Armenian boxers. So that's how I feel.
This is the thing. When you go to a new coach a lot of times and you learn new technique, it takes a couple fights to set in. I mean, when you're learning a new style, you're a white belt. You're a blue belt. And it takes months and months. I went through the same thing at Black House. I was learning their system. So I was actually... like you said, I was really hoping to see maybe this being his coming out fight. You know, he had a couple rough fights before that, but I figured, you know what, he's learning a new style, learning a new technique. It's still kind of settling in. By this time, you know, he could be like, you know, like a purple belt at this system. But I kind of agree, man. I mean, I'm an active fighter, so I'm staying pretty politically correct.
No, don't. That's not the show for that.
You know, I think Edmund knows what he's doing. You know, he knows striking. But I do agree that maybe, you know, your style may not fit every other fighter. You need to sometimes take what they already do well and just tweak it.
But what if you can't tweak it because you don't have the experience? I mean, as far as I know, Edmund's coaching has been an understudy for Freddie Roach for 10 years, mm-hmm. and which is great, but as a boxing coach, mm-hmm. How many boxers, guys started off boxing, have succeeded in MMA?
It's a different style. It's a different distance. I mean, it's everything's different about it. Even the defense is different. You know, keeping your hands by your chin rather than.
I mean, some have. Fabio Maldonado, 22-0, is a boxer.
He takes a beating though. Yeah.
I mean, other guys. Some guys have done it, but how many guys that start off as primarily boxers have? Yeah. Have then it's just a different sport.
Yeah, and also Jake doesn't have the luxury of time of learning on the fly like that and losing three in a row.
But what kind of coach says, okay, what you're doing is wrong. I'm going to rebuild you, and we're gonna teach you how to fight. And Travis Brown is the same thing. He comes over from Greg Jackson. He goes. I'm learning how to fight right now. Like, I'm putting my money on Schaub. I swear. I hate to say it, but with that kind of thinking, fucking Brent, really?
I agree with that. Once you've reached this level of competition and success, you can't rebuild a fighter as much as you just need to tweak their game. And maybe that's what it is, man. And like you noted on earlier with Ronda Rousey, not only is she another level of competitor and athlete, but also maybe, you know, when she came into the sport or when she found Edmund, she really didn't have any striking. So he was able to mold her from the beginning, and maybe that's why it's worked with her. Whereas these other athletes already came in with an adopted striking style, and now he's trying to change it. And when they already had a style, you know, so maybe that's what it was.
And
maybe
we don't even know about Ronda because we haven't seen her in deep waters yet. Like we honestly, her last two fights, she won by, you know, with Sarah McMahon kneeing her and taking out the other girl in 12 seconds with a punch. Mm-hmm. But that's a combined minute and a half of fighting. So
right. Once a fight slows down and we see that, yeah.
When somebody walks through your punches, I mean, Misha Tate, you know. I mean, she's a good fighter, but Ronda's beaten her. Sometimes when you beat somebody the first time, you know, they're already defeated by the second time they go in there. We'll see with Kat Zingano. I'm not going to say that Ronda Rousey's not going to beat her because I think she will beat her. I just personally think Jake needs to go to a different camp. And look, I could be wrong. I'm not going to go walk to GFC right now because people are going to kick me out of there. And I hate saying it, but as much as I hate saying this, I hate seeing Jake struggle and I hate seeing Jake lose. And I'm just a guy with an opinion too. So, I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
No, but what you're talking about is fit, right? Like, I mean, it's just like in the regular world, like some people work for a company and they just they're good at what they do, but they just don't fit within that environment. So they have to go somewhere else and they find success, right? You look at the NFL, you have a coach that, you know, just not successful at a certain team, goes somewhere else and all of a sudden they're successful.
Yeah.
You know? So it's all about coaching fit and athlete fit. And it doesn't seem like that's the right place to be. After 20 some odd fights, 30 fights, he shouldn't be reconfiguring his striking style. He should be just sharpening the tools he already has.
Exactly.
And it doesn't seem like he's getting that.
He didn't go for one takedown in that fight.
I think
he didn't go for one takedown in his last three fights. He didn't shoot a takedown. His last three fights, he has not tried for one takedown.
Right,
this is a guy that, from what I hear at the gym, takes down Mark, takes everyone down at the gym, of a gym of just wrestlers at Rain. I mean, Colby Covington last week told us that he takes down Robbie Lawler every time in the gym. That's what Colby said. So why isn't Jake going for a takedown? You know, look, I'm not a fucking MMA coach, but it just. This is what I get paid to do, is give my opinion, and this is my opinion.
Well, let's not take anything away from what Kelvin did, too, right? I
mean, nothing what Kelvin did. Kelvin looked amazing. Kelvin's a beast, man.
Kelvin is a beast.
I knew Kelvin was a beast from the first time I saw him. He was the last pick on The Ultimate Fighter. Last pick. Pick last. And now he's the youngest guy ever in the show, and now he's number top 10 in the world. And he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. That's why I couldn't even fucking hate him. And I was proud of him. I'm proud of the guy. I just like Jake better because I know Jake better. But I like Kelvin. All right, enough about that. Leslie Smith's ear.
Amazing.
Oh, my God. Like I said, like, I watched a lot of porn, and I saw a girl's ear squirt. That was
the last time you see a gash that big.
Jesus, that was a huge gash. I almost tried to bang it. No,
started mounting the television.
Yeah, there's a hole in my computer where her ear was. So Leslie Smith's ear. Look,
Hold on. Let me ask you this: do you think she was really trying to continue fighting?
Yes.
She seemed very. Dude,
did she know how her ear looked? Like,
no.
How horrible it was.
No.
She didn't give a damn.
Right. I don't think she knew how bad it was.
But like, if she looked at the replay, she'd only.
She's a warrior.
Shit,
man. She's a warrior.
Well, I know from personal experience. I had really bad cauliflower ear in college, like in high school. Like, my ear used to get purple, and they used to drain it. It was terrible because the only chicks I liked were gothic girls, and they used to drain my ear every week.
Does it hurt when it's like that? When it looks like that?
It did. It hurts in practice a little bit, you know, and it hurts because you're not getting any pussy. That's probably the thing that hurts the most. And then I got it. I got reconstructive surgery in college on it. When I got done wrestling, it was really bad. I was like, it was basically like Henderson here. You know, it was like, fuck, it was bad. And because there was no MMA then, there was no like pride in it. It was just like, look at your fucked up ear.
What's wrong with your ear?
Yeah.
Well, the spot that she had it as well was what made it bad too. Is like, because I know when I get cauliflower ear, when it's on the. Like on the end, on the extremities, on the top of the ear, it hurts, but it's not as bad as when it's close to your head.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Hers was pretty much torn from where the ear meets the head, and that's a painful spot.
Yeah.
It happened to Sakuraba, too, in my fight. Didn't it? His ear got caught under the guy's glove.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
pulled his hand and it, like, ripped his ear off.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was happy for Jessica Eye, though, because I like her a lot, and I'm going to see her this week in Toledo, I think.
Are you?
Yeah, I've got a gig in Toledo this weekend. And I'm going to see Jessica Eye. And I was happy. I like that girl a lot. She's another girl that has, you know, a lot of issues. but she's great. She looked good.
She's the one that busted the ear.
Yeah, yeah.
She had real good head movement, good hands, man.
Sharp girl.
I was impressed with her a lot.
James Thompson style.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Thompson's fighting somebody in Bellator.
Bellator.
I think Sokoju, right? Is he fighting Sokoju? Who's he fighting? He's fighting somebody in Bellator. And then, it was like one of those things where UFC 180.
Bobby Lashley.
Oh,
yes. Were we just talking about? We were just talking about Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. Yeah, Bobby
Lashley. Goes in the second round, Bobby will be done.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a good fight.
Perfect.
You know, we'll talk about Bellator. We got Hector Lombard coming on in 2 minutes, and then we're gonna talk about Bellator. But first, so Humberto Brown shit himself on the prelims. Which is great because people were like hashtagging Doo Doo Brown,
right.
and and like there was a bunch of dude wipes jokes. It was like right. just and man, you kind of it was like and the camera guy zoomed right in on it. I mean, it was like it just kept getting worse. And you could actually see, I think, Mario Yamasaki say to him, like, hey, if you keep shooting yourself, I'm going to stop the fight. Or something, said something to him. That's what somebody in like Spanish. Yeah, he got the shit beaten out of him. And then he got choked out afterwards. So it was like just a rough night, you know.
Dude, he's probably a night. Yeah. How do you get recover from that? Like that night you go to bed, and you're like, dude, I shit myself and I lost.
It happens though, man. It happens. Like everybody who's rolled jiu-jitsu or wrestling at one time, you know.
I've shit myself in a wrestling match.
Squeezes one out, and I told you. I think I told you at the comedy show the other night when I was there. I think I shit myself a little bit during the fight in Brazil, man. My son
really?
Was all messed up in Brazil, and when he had that guillotine real tight, I know. I squeezed one out, and it felt a little damp. But what you got to do is you got to layer up your tights, your underwear. You can't just wear.
You got to put like a maxi
really?
Pad in the
yeah,
back.
I put well not a maxi pad, but I'll wear my underwear. I'll wear tights. I'll wear my shorts on top just in case something does happen.
Wow. Okay.
But hit Brown's was pretty severe. Mine was nothing like that.
Just got to start wearing.
I think
camouflage
he had a
shorts.
Fart. He pretty much shit himself.
That's gonna be the threat title of the show. Alan Jabon shit himself from Brazil. Yeah. Just so you know, it's gonna get. That's good. Wow. That's what's well, good to know from a fighter that guys. Yeah, a lot of guys have done it. I've done it during a comedy show one time. Like, I started shitting, and then I had to, like, do the show, and then I'm like, you know, you're up there, you're sweating, and I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, I could feel it coming out a little bit. I'm like, I'm holding it in, and then I got to sell CDs afterwards and still, like, write it out.
Hold on. Let me ask you this, and be honest. Is that the same time that girl...
What?
Ate your ass off. You were telling me
yes.
That. The chili
yes,
ball.
Actually.
You were telling me that happened.
Yeah.
How gross is that?
I met a girl that ate my butt after a show. And wow. And I think it was the same night. Yeah, I was like, damn, you have severe problems. I wasn't going to stop her, though. You know, right. I mean, I wiped it before that. I mean, it was definitely wiped out, but I definitely did not shower.
Are we having this conversation for real?
When did I see you again? Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah,
did she try to kiss you after?
Yeah, I was like, are you out of your mind? I'm like, man, you need to. Anyway, all right. So, speaking of Hector Lombard, no, I'm kidding. Hector Lombard, we're going to call him right now, and then we're going to talk Bellator. We're going to talk Anthony Magana's tweets. We're going to talk John Alessio. We have him on coming on. And then the big announcement that never came yesterday. The time is now. It never actually happened. So we're going to talk about all that on the podcast. And first, let's talk to Lombard. Thank you for listening. How are you, man? How's everything going?
Yeah, good, man. It's going.
Yeah, you sound happy. That's a good thing.
Well, I have to be happy. That is, you know, like, what else can I do? Put some guts right now.
Right. You know. How was it was good seeing you on TV, man. How was Mexico?
Ah, man, it was great. I will tell you as much. It's one of the best, you know, it's one of the best times I ever had in my life.
Nice.
Wow, what happened?
Donkey show?
No, I mean, like, I felt like Obama. Like, helicopters everywhere, you know, high security. Mm. Police officers around us. Mm. I mean, that was insane.
Yeah.
Were the police officers protecting you or following you?
They're protecting me, bro.
Okay.
Come on.
Nice. Now, did the Mexican girls, I know that you said that you pull the most tail. By the way, last week we had Colby Covington on who said that Thiago Alves, right, gets more girls than you do.
Yeah, he does. I don't want to argue with that.
He's honest.
You know, the reason why is because I'm going for it.
Oh, okay.
They come for me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I pass it. Most of the times I pass it because I'm not into that much. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be like a womanizer. But yeah, you know, like, I don't say like anybody else is a womanizer out there. But I'm saying like, you know, I should focus on my fight, you know, in my career.
Right, that's true.
Because women, they got to be there all the time, you know? Like,
yeah.
And with respect, I can't go that crazy for that.
Yeah. They could be a distraction.
Yeah. But, talking about what are you saying about Mexico women, I didn't really go to see any pretty up there. You know, like, you know, it was in, I don't know, like, maybe because I was in at the hotel all the time, or whatever. But I mean, I didn't see any hottie ones.
You didn't see any stunners?
Yeah, I didn't see any hot chick.
Well, you're also like in Florida, and like you got all those Cuban girls in Florida, who, you know, it's the most beautiful.
I actually don't. I'm in a place where, you know, it's a bit far from the Cuban chicks. I'm in Boca.
Are you in Boca?
Like Boca Raton is like more like.
It's like old Jewish ladies.
Like a Jewish.
Yeah, old Jewish ladies. Area. Yeah. So you're telling me that you don't hook up with the old Jewish ladies?
You have to even think about it.
Come on, brother. Come on. You're giving hard time right now.
Oh, come on. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. Look at the muscles on that Schwarzer.
What?
He's amazing.
Who's talking there?
It's Irma Linkenfeld. How are you?
Is that a woman or an old lady?
It's an old lady. How dare you, young man? How dare you?
Is that a Jewish woman?
It's an old Jewish lady.
I'm getting spilkies in my connecticutoid.
Give me some money. Give me some money. That's what I need.
Come over here and earn it, baby.
Hey, give me some money. I need some money. Is she going to give me some money?
I need some of that Cuban cigar.
Okay,
give me that
give me
big
money.
Cuban cigar, and I'll give you some money, honey.
Give me money.
All right, buddy.
How will you need? Hey, I was in Mexico, and man, you know, I can't take out of my mind. Like, I feel like a Mr. Obama. Like, helicopters everywhere, Apaches, high security, police officers. That shit was crazy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that shit was crazy, bro.
Hector, this is Alan, man. So why were they treating you guys with such first-class service? Was it just because the fans were so, like, swarming you guys everywhere you went?
I believe that they treat us that way because, I don't know if you noticed, but he's a mafia down there. And, you know, they might scared to us to get hijacked. Yeah.
More for security reasons and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Got the cartels down there.
No, that's Alan Juban.
Ask him. He was there. He can tell you.
No. Alan was there. Alan Alan fought in Brazil 2 weeks ago. Did you watch the UFC card with Shogun and OSP?
Yeah, what's that card?
Okay, well, Alan fought. He was the co-main event. He fought against a Brazilian. I thought he got robbed. He fought on that card. He fought right before Shogun did. He's a good-looking guy. He's like a model, and he became a fighter. And then before that, who did you fight? Seth Brzezinski, right?
Yes, yeah, Seth Brzezinski was my debut.
He fought Seth Brzezinski on his debut.
Okay.
So no, wait. So,
but good to know that the UFC is looking after us, man. Good to know that.
So Hector, so now you're back in Florida. You got Josh Berkman in January, right?
Yeah.
Now how's training going for Josh?
Yeah, I mean, it's going. I didn't go out.
Hello?
Not there because, you know, they we had to do a lot of interviews and a lot of signing autographs, and you know, we're constantly busy up down there. But I'm back home, and I am actually on my way to train. You know, I'm in the truck with my boy Diaz. We can do some boxing and stuff, but didn't got the opportunity to train that much up there down in Mexico. Hey, what are you doing, Dad? What are you doing, man? Come on, man, go back! It's not stopping you. We're gonna get into an accident, man.
What's going on? Are you guys robbing are you guys robbing a bank right now? What's going on?
No, man, my boy dad doesn't know how to drive.
Oh, gotcha.
Please, guys, just don't get into it. Don't get calling it, man. You would be I want to get my points. Damn it. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay. That was normal. Now, are you now? I know that on Twitter recently, you were upset because certain guys don't want to fight you, and I know Ben Askren.
Hey, no. No, listen to this. Okay, I call up my bro. Okay, I call up that guy. He said that he doesn't want to. You know, he's injured. He's fighting in January, bro.
Yeah, he just got confirmed.
Yeah.
So what the hell's going on with it?
Tarek Seferdine.
So you think Matt Brown was scared to fight you?
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
You know, you're a smart guy. You know what's going down. And, you know, Dana White has been working hard to get a fight for me and stuff. And I see all these guys, they're just training to fight. They don't want to fight. You know, I think that that's pretty embarrassed for their behalf. To be honest,
you feel embarrassed for the UFC?
No. From the fighters' behalf.
You know,
Dana's been trying his best to get the fight. You see what he did? You know, he signed Josh Beckman out of
World Series of Fighting. Yeah, no, it's crazy that they have to find people from other organizations to fight you. I've never heard of that.
Right. I'll tell you one thing. I'm grateful. I have to say thanks to Dana White and Lorenzo to. You know, reach up to all the guys outside of the UFC so I could get me. They could get me a fight.
It's like the Patriots going to the CFL to get guys to play them.
I can't be more grateful than that. I can tell you that for fun. And you know, fighting in the card that I'm fighting, you know, it makes me happy.
But is it hard for you to get up for that, though? Because if you beat Josh Berkman, you beat a guy that wasn't really even ranked. And then if you lose, you're totally screwed because now you go down 10 notches. Is it kind of a no-win for you?
Life is all about risk. Life is all about risk. And, you know, I've been taking risks since I'm born. So, I mean, I can't care less for that. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, Ben Askren on Twitter recently has been challenging you to a wrestling match.
Wait. Why do you mention that guy, bro? It's boring. It's boring. He's never going to get to fight in the UFC. Why he's wasting his time calling me up? Fucking idiot. Okay, I'll be telling him like, listen, you want to find me? Just call me up outside, whatever. Like, oh, you know, why? No, we don't need a pick. That shit happened.
No, he said he wanted. Well, he said that you said that you beat him in wrestling, so now he wants to officially wrestle.
I did. I actually did. He knows he went for double leg, and I was trying to like flip him over. I went with the tomoko now. He knows that. I mean, let's face it. I don't talk shit.
No, you don't talk shit at all. But I'm saying that he said that he'll wrestle you in the Ben Askren Invitational or something or some kind of tournament he has, and
he's a boring fighter. What he does is he doesn't even fight. He's just going hot people.
Okay, now I've had
who wants to see Hagin fight? Who wants to see Hagin fight? Nobody wants to see Hagin fight. Start with the Hagin shit. So. I mean, he needs to be smarter with his, the things that he does because he makes no sense at all. And when you make no sense, you make no money. You know, first of all, you should never go into the big boss bad side. That's one.
Right.
Okay? Because how can you talk shit about the guy who wrote you the chick, okay?
You can't make dollars if you don't make sense.
Yeah, that was really dumb. Calling Dana White a fat bald man, and you know.
Yeah. How are you calling? It's kind of like Tito Ortiz. It's a dumbass. You know, calling Dana White and writing a shirt, you know, saying shit about the guy who wrote you the chick. Are you stupid?
Yeah, why would you do that?
That's the dumbest thing in my life.
Yeah,
I agree.
I don't even want to talk about guys. You know, guys like that. To be honest, there. You know, I mean, like, freaking guy doesn't make sense.
So, okay, let's say you beat Josh Berkman. Now, there was a guy from the UFC that contacted me. I did say that I have Hector Lombard on the show. A guy from the UFC hit me up on DM. He said, ask Hector who he wants to fight next if he gets past Josh Berkman.
We all know it. Tyler Woodley, baby.
Now,
I love the way you talk.
Now, what about Hector Lombard Jr.?
Hey, hello.
Hey, where is he?
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, motherfucker?
Hey, that guy's insane.
Hey, at the end of the day, you come up here, I go down there. It doesn't matter.
That guy's insane.
I'm not insane, man.
I tell you one thing, you know.
Hey, look, you know, look. There, you know. Time for talk is done.
Yeah, hold on, man. Hold on.
My bad. Go ahead.
Junior, let me talk.
Okay.
Hey.
Shut up!
All right. Hey, bro. Shut up for a second.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
All right. I'll tell you one thing. I love your show. And I actually, you know, I need a job, you know, after my fighting career finished. So maybe I can work for you guys.
100%.
That would be amazing, wouldn't that, dude?
Are you kidding?
Our ratings would go through the roof.
Oh God, Hector! I don't think you realize how loved you are by the fans. The hardcore fans love you, and the women love you. Black women, honestly, black women are hit up my Twitter all the time, going, "When's Hector coming back?"
Well, they get wet by my accent, bro.
Oh, is that what it
is? listen. Especially now, like UFC going Spanish.
Right.
You guys have to go Spanish too. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Hey.
Evan, can you help him get a job or what?
If UFC goes Spanish, you guys have to go Spanish. Right?
Right.
Lombard Deportes?
Yeah, Lombard Deportes.
I like it.
Yeah, I think we'll kill it. We would kill up there.
It would. By the way, I texted your buddy Yoel twice and he didn't get back to me.
He was, on
the, yeah.
He was on the stool.
Nah, he doesn't use his phone, bro.
Oh, he doesn't use his phone?
Get out of here, bro. You're driving too fast, man. I'm telling you.
What do you say?
Talking to his buddy that's driving. He's like, you're driving too fast. You're going to kill him.
I'm fucking nervous right now, Pete.
Oh, man. We should have a Hector Lombard GPS. Drop the best, man. Slow down. Turn right.
Hey, man. You missed that turn. Hey, Hector. Hector.
Yo.
I wanted to say thank you for the gear, man.
Yeah, by the way, yeah. That
was great. I came home one day and there was a box sitting on the front porch of shirts and jackets.
I want to see some more. Check online what you guys like, and I want to send you some more.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be amazing, man. Yeah. Adam and I both have our jackets with us right now.
Yeah, I like wear it everywhere. I am so proud. Someone's like, how many stuff do you send you? I go, no, I wear it every day. I was like, dude, are you kidding? Whoa. Hector Lombard sends me a shirt. I'm fucking wearing it every day.
I'll send you some more, man. Send me a text with the stuff that you like down there in the page, and I send it over to you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, my pleasure. But respect with talking about Mexico. I reckon you guys should, you know, start looking into it. I reckon you guys should start looking into a Spanish version. You know, I mean, who doesn't like Spanish? Come on, man.
What?
We already need, you know, English/Spanish. Can you imagine when I talk Spanish, bonita?
Bonita.
Michate was next to me when we were doing the signing autograph.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I love the Spanish language. I gotta learn this. You're so sexy. I'm so sexy. I'm
a wow. She might leave Caraway for Lombard. That'd be a huge.
Everyone was saying like, Misha, I want to marry you. Misha, I want to marry you.
Wow.
And I said to Tisha. I said to Misha, you should start asking those guys, like, are you a millionaire? Because if you're not a millionaire, it doesn't make sense to marry you.
Right.
You know, like, because everyone, they ask for an autograph sign, say, oh, Tisha, can I marry you? Tisha, can I marry you? And Misha, can I marry you? I'm like, what the hell? Every single person.
Even the girls.
Yeah, Misha's a trip.
It was funny because it was a chick down there in Mexico. She came out with her underwear. And she's like, sign my underwear.
Across the stains.
Wait, did you sign her underwear?
Yes, I did.
Speaking of underwear,
I'm there to sign. I have to do my job, so I'm there to sign.
Yeah, you got to do it. You got to do it.
I think twice about it. I think twice, like, should I sign it? But, you know, like, I knew she was going to get pissed off if I wouldn't.
Mm.
So I don't want to kind of, like, say no to the thing.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, I didn't look at it and I signed it.
But,
I wasn't the only one. I wasn't the only one. Everyone did. So.
Did you smell them?
Come on.
It was a new underwear, so that's
oh,
why.
Boo.
Now, did you sign the front? She was wearing her underwear, or you signed it, or you signed it?
I signed the top, the very top part, and I didn't went down there, so.
Oh, okay.
You know, the top part, and she was happy, and then the guys were laughing, but the guys signed it too, so, you know, it wasn't only me, but
I was going to say, if John Dodson popped out of her vagina.
That's how hardcore the Mexican things are, you know? It would come with a shirt, they would take the shirt off, and they would say, like, sign my shirt. I mean, like...
Yeah. Well, I love the sweatshirt's dope, by the way. And by the way, Hector, there's no reason why you should not be working at Fox, and also working for the UFC. I mean, who's going to know more about moves and about fighting than you? And, you know, you're a charismatic guy, and, you know, if I was in charge of hiring people, I would hire you in 2 seconds. But let's put that out there. So the fans listening to the podcast, tweet out, you want to see Hector Lombard on Fox Deportes and on UFC Deportes. Tell them that you want to see it, and maybe someone will, on the Twitterverse, so that'll help get you the job. So.
Oh, yeah, I would love to. And, you know, I got a lot of comments, even by the UFC stuff, saying, like, you know, I did a pretty good job down there, and the fans, they were all happy, and even the people from Mexico were saying, like, wow, you know, I can't believe, like, you guys are so easygoing, you know, you guys signing every single autograph and take photos with every single fan, and you know, there were people down there. They used to work for football players, NFL players, and stuff like that. And they were saying, like, wow, you guys are so different. Like,
yeah.
You guys really took your time and, you know, please everything.
Yeah, I find that MMA fighters are a lot more accessible to the fans and, like, more, you know, I think probably because of the workouts you guys go to, it's just. Are so grueling that you know, it like humbles the shit out of you guys in some ways. you guys are so happy, and plus the sport's relatively new, so you're happy that people are so excited to actually watch you guys and pay you guys. Well, Hector, man, love to have you on anytime.
Always a pleasure, brother.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be on our show. We love having you, man.
And tell the dude driving to slow down.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Take care.
Man.
Have a good day, guys.
You too, brother.
Bye.
All right, that was Hector. Was Hector Lombard. we have John Alessio coming up next, and then we're going to close out the show. We're going to talk about we got to get to Magana's tweets. They're really funny. And then we got
Is she mad at you?
No, we'll talk about that. And then we have the fight coming up this week. We got our predictions for Cub Swanson versus Edgar this week. UFC. There's going to be a lot of good fights this week. So we're going to call John Alessio right now, and thanks you guys for listening. So we have a legend in MMA, a guy who's been in the UFC, WEC, King of the Cage, Pride, the MFC, and Dream. John Alessio, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, thanks. Man, it's a long list.
Yeah,
you say it.
we got you're on with T-Rex as well as Alan Juban.
What's up, man?
Oh, nice. What's going on, guys?
Much. I was going through your career now. Are you retired now? Or are you still fighting? What's going on?
No, I'm a contractor with Bellator right now. Just waiting to get a fight in the new year here. But I'm definitely slowing down the amount of fights that I do. I'm working towards being a firefighter. Plus, I own my own clothing store here in Las Vegas. So
nice.
I'm getting to that point, where it's time to get close to hanging them up kind of thing. But now I'm just kind of doing it for more fun than anything.
I mean, you've had 53 fights.
That's ridiculous.
That's a ton, man.
Insane.
Boxing career.
I mean, that's insane. Yeah. And but now, when I went over to Drysdale's gym, you were there that day, right?
Yeah, I was. I remember you, yeah.
Did we actually train together or no?
I don't think we got a chance to go together. We were doing wall drills that day, and it seemed like we had kept getting paired up with somebody else. And,
yeah, I kept getting I kept getting paired up with Karina for some reason. And
that money to use.
Yeah. Now, you also, I read that you won two national titles in BMX trick biking.
Yeah, it was a division called Observed Trials. It was like basically you take your bike and you go through an obstacle course, like up, down, over things, and you're not allowed to put like your foot down at all because it's touching the ground. And yeah, I actually won two national titles of that as a 16-year-old kid competing against basically grown men that are like full on sponsored. I drove down to California from Canada where I lived at the time and beat a couple of these big time pros. They pulled up in their huge RVs with their RVs are wrapped with their name and their bike sponsors, and I pulled up in like a 1982. Toyota Corolla rusted right out, no AC, and I still beat these guys.
Wow.
Trial biking is crazy, man. You guys ride on like skinny rails and have like ridiculous brakes where they're like hopping on one wheel, like the back wheel, and hop up on like 5 feet on one, like balancing on the back wheel and hop up 5 feet onto something else.
Wow.
With one wheel. It's crazy. If you ever watch it, it's amazing to watch these dudes.
Wow.
I'm surprised you even know what it is, man. It's such like a unknown sport.
Yeah, I've been riding freestyle since the days of Eddie Fiola.
Oh, nice. Okay, so yeah, you understand, man.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I mean, you were kind of a prodigy. I mean, your first UFC fight ever, which I watched, was against Pat Miletich. You're 20 years old.
Jesus.
Going up against a Hall of Famer who was, I think, the champion right at the time.
He was. That was his fifth title defense, and that was my UFC debut.
Holy wow, Jesus Christ! Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah, that's
That's like the epitome of being thrown to the wolves, But like here was the situation. I just won a tournament in Hawaii. I don't know if everybody remembers Super Brawls. But one of the the coolest shows ever, where a lot of big names came out of. Vito Belfort was in there, and a bunch of other good names. But I won a tournament, which was all in one night, and I got the phone call from Joe Silva. But this is UFC when it was SEG Sports, not Zuffa, and they gave me an option. They're like, "Do you want to fight Matt Hughes or Pat Miletich for the belt?" And I basically thought that was a no-brainer, so I took the title shot.
Wow.
How many fights into your career were you at that time?
I believe I had a 10-1 record, 10-2 oh, wow. record, something like that at the time. Yeah.
At 20 years old, you had a 10-1 record. Wow. That's impressive, man.
Yeah.
And you actually did really well. I mean, you actually won the first round. It was pretty close, actually, the first round. And then it was a pretty close fight. And then he got you in the second. But still, having that experience, I mean, what type of horrible management do you have?
That was basically all me back then, just getting fights and got into the, the Super Brawl on my own. And, I was training with the Lion's Den, if anybody remembers that gym.
Yeah, that was
back in the day. And, like my very first night I moved to California, it's actually kind of a funny story. The guys, the team wanted to take me out. So it was me, Ken Shamrock, Pete Williams, who was the UFC heavyweight champion at the time, Vernon Tiger White, Alex Andretti, another guy that was in the UFC. So my very first night, they took me out to, some of you California guys will know this and remember, Club Rubber.
Club Rubber.
Rave. Yeah.
club.
And they took me out to that, and I just, you know, my first night in California, I shared a bed with Pete Williams. That's actually a pull-out couch.
Oh, my God. Wow. Now, now, so you, Ken Shamrock, Pete Williams at Club Rubber. Now, now all these guys, it's like a rave. They're all doing, like, glow sticks and ecstasy. Are you guys just beating people up? Are you guys making out with chicks? What's going on at Club Rubber?
You want to know the best part is Ken Shamrock's outfit. All right, he went to the – so I'm calling him out on this one. He had black, tight, leather pants with no shirt on, and that's how he's the Club Rubber. Like skin-tight black leather pants. I'm a small kid from Canada, you know, a small town in Canada, you know, of population of like 25,000. And my first night in California, this is what I'm subjected to, you know.
Oh my God.
They get me into the place. It's 21 and over. I'm only 19. So they managed to get me into you know, because the connection or whatever. So I'm an underage kid partying with these guys, and they're in this crazy outfit, and like, I didn't know what the hell to expect, you know.
now was the Lion's Den, was it, I know right now there's a whole thing right now on the internet as far as like crazy, you know, with Rose Namajunas, with what's his name, Duke Rufus, saying there's like bullying at the gym and this and that, and a lot of people are saying, well, back in the day with Miletic and that hardcore, that's how gyms were, as far as like you had to, they kind of weeded out the guys that weren't ready. Was that how the Lion's Den was?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, it was. And you know, we don't call it, back then you didn't call it bullying. You just called it survival of the fittest. You know, now we got this whole anti-bullying campaign going on, and I get it. I understand, you know, that there's bullying that shouldn't be happening, but then there's also bullying that's not bullying. It's just, you know, just man up and be tough. You know, it is like the top of the food chain kind of life we live. You know, and especially back then. I mean, here's a quick rundown of a day practice at the Lion's Den. This is one practice, okay? So it would start off with 5 5-minute rounds of jump rope. Then you would do 5 5-minute rounds of jujitsu. Then you'd do 5 5-minute rounds of kickboxing sparring. Then you'd do 5 5-minute rounds of MMA sparring. This is one practice, okay? And then you'd have to come back later on.
Wow.
So it was absolutely ridiculous, you know, and I'm getting stuck with guys in Shamrock on top of me. I remember one day my ear was so black and blue that I pretty much just thought it was going to fall off at some point in time that week. It was just disgustingly, it didn't really swell, like I don't have cauliflower ear, but it was dead looking, you know, like frostbit dead looking.
And then when you're training with Ken Shamrock, do you have any idea what the fuck he's doing? I mean, is it, because you're coming from at that time he was the world's most dangerous man. He literally was probably the world's most dangerous man. I mean, was he just doing stuff that you were just like, what is going on here?
Yeah, and there was no mercy. You know, like, he's on top of you, grounding and pounding the crap out of you. There's, A, you don't tap. You're not allowed to, you know, and B, you just, you know, he's trying to make you a man kind of thing, and it was just go. And, you know, luckily I had that in me since, you know, a young age of never give up, never quit. You know, it's just something my dad installed in me. And, you know, starting off MMA back in the day, that's just kind of how it was. I didn't get to see it any other way. There was no amateurs. There was no gloves. My very first few MMA practices in a garage were on a bunch of underlay, you know, and carpet, and we went at it bare knuckle. That's just kind of how it was.
Jesus, that's so, wow. That's amazing that you have 53 fights later and you're still fighting for fun. I mean, you fought Andre Galvao. That's the guy that beat Weidman, right, in the Abu Dhabi.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's the jiu-jitsu world champion. Yeah, I took that fight on like a week and a half notice too. I mean, you know, Dream needed to fill the tournament. I took the spot, and a lot of my fights have been like that, like short notice. And I've always been the guy to call, like, "Hey, you need a tough guy that'll come fight." And you know, there I am, you know, on speed dial.
I mean, that's insane. I remember being—I was actually working for the MMA Awards, and we were shooting something at Extreme Couture, and it was like the day after you beat War Machine. I was in that gym. And then you were really pumped about choking out War Machine.
Yeah, that was good. You know, I mean, it was weird because at the time we were training partners for a while, and then he moved to San Diego, and there was like a 3-month gap where he wasn't around. And then I was supposed to fight Brad Blackburn, and he pulled out and got injured. So War Machine stepped in. I was like, oh, that's weird. I kind of thought it was weird he took the fight. You know, I was like, I thought we were buddies, but whatever. He needed the money because he was getting ready to go to jail. He was literally going to jail. We fought on a Friday night. He was had to turn himself in that Monday, I believe. So he was trying to make a little bit of money for his wife at the time, and yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, no, you've had a crazy career, man. And by the way, your wife is one of the hottest chicks I've ever seen in my life. Just so you know, I was looking.
Oh, well, thank you.
I was looking at her. She's a model, right?
She's done some modeling, yeah, back in the day, yeah.
Okay, I mean, I'm looking at the picture right now. I'll show everybody the picture so they can. That's his wife. Pretty smoking lady.
Yeah, smoking.
Good work on that.
Good job, buddy.
Now, I know that I know that recently Angela Magana was tweeting stuff out. So basically what happened was Magana said a couple things. I said that even Mayhem Miller thinks that Magana has problems, right? And then Magana writes, well, I wouldn't lose to that chump Bisbing. And then Bisbing writes, who the fuck are you? You know, what are you, the latest girl on Ultimate Fighter? Let's see where you are in 10 years. And then everything just starts piling on. But then Magana starts writing things like, hey, somebody on the Ultimate Fighter has a really hairy vagina. Guess who? She starts saying that I think that the female fighters should actually have strap-on dildos when they fight. That way the ref won't stop it because of quick stoppages. She's just going crazy. Like, I mean, I'll read you some of her tweets, and then we'll talk about how John Alessio gets involved in like 2 seconds. So, yeah, Magana writes, one girl on the Ultimate Fighter has never shaved her snatch. It's a full-blown hooded warrior. I'll let you guys guess. The girl has serious case of trench snatch. You could actually smell her snatch coming from a room away, right? So then she writes. Something about. I go, if Magana was in the WSOF, it would be the World Series of a failure. And then she keeps going. And then she goes, I'm gonna make. Who wants to see me naked? So then John Alessio writes, honestly, who would want to see Magana naked? Unless it's that factor of watching midget porn. Or a girl blowing a horse, just cause. So then Magana starts coming at him on Jalen, John Alessio, and then Cody McKenzie chimed in saying that, I don't know, something about she hopes Magana kicks him in the balls, and then it just became this whole thing on Twitter. So do you care to comment on this, John?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I started reading back too, and I saw, like, you know, you always crack on anybody that deserves to be joked on, you know, yeah. or put themselves in a position to be joked about, and I consider that an honor, you know what I mean, to be like roasted, you know. So I haven't got roasted by you yet, so I'm waiting for it.
But all right.
Anyways, so yeah, you're roasting her or whatever, and I think it's funny. And she's getting like super, you know, kind of like aggressive and like mean to you. So I was like, oh, you know, I'm gonna. My turn to chime in, you know, and it's just a good fun to see if she could take it, you know. And I had no idea what her responses were. It was the weirdest responses, and I didn't get it. Like, her kitty cat was going to spit me out or something, and I was just truly confused, you know. And, like, and everybody's responses, you're like, well, let's try to help you figure this out, because nobody really knew, you know. And I just thought it was really odd, and but you know, I think she took it in all good fun. Well, at the same time, I'm hoping, you know.
Well, she's calling herself like the queen on Twitter, and then she's like, she said to you like that that you couldn't handle her vagina, I think she was saying, and then you said like, I'm a married man, so I can't handle, like, I don't get to see any more vaginas or something. It was something funny, but it was like about your wife, so it was you were being self-deprecating. But oh my god! Now, I was saying that I was reading stuff about you last night. One of the guys you wish you would have fought was Nick Diaz, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and no disrespect to him or anything. I just think that. You know, I obviously think the world of his fighting abilities. You know, I think it would have been a really good, fun fight. And it seems like every time I really try to get in there and, like, really stand with people, you know, they end up just trying to wrestle the whole fight. And I'm sure, you know, Alan can relate to that, you know, with guys not wanting to stand and trade with them. You know, he's got great kickboxing. By the way, I thought you won your last fight. Just put that out there.
Thank you, brother.
It seems to be the general consensus.
You know how it goes. The guys just want to start, you know, they feel your power a little bit and like, oh man, you know, they underestimate your stand up and then they get cracked a few times. And then it's like, I'm going to just lay on you. And So, yeah, I thought a guy like him, you know what I mean, would just be a – I would never have to worry about a takedown coming from him. You know, it could be a true, like, boxing fight, you know, and I love boxing. You know, I like the kick and the knee and stuff as well, but boxing is where, like, my real heart is at for striking. So I just think it would have been a hell of a boxing match with small gloves.
That would be an exciting fight. I think Nick is the kind of guy, like you said, that would oblige you in the stand-up war. So, and both of you guys could, you know – get cut, get hurt, and keep on going. So that would be a kind of a dream fight.
Yeah, absolutely, dream matchup, and great for the fans and stuff. Yeah. But you know, obviously, with my perfect UFC record, that won't happen.
I mean, does that bother you at all? Like, you're like, oh fuck. I mean, some of the guys you put you up against, like a guy like Shane Roller, who was a 3-time national champion wrestler. They put you up against the guys that didn't want to stand and bang. Does it bother you that you never got that win in the UFC?
A little bit, yeah. You know, I mean, but you just got to look back. There's like super tough guys in there that haven't got wins in the UFC. Like Jay Haran, for example. That guy's a beast in the gym. You know what I mean? Like, that guy's kicked my ass a few times in the gym, and he wasn't able to get a UFC win. You know, and there's other guys that haven't, but then it does bother me the fact that I see some freaking turds in there that have, like, winning records in the UFC. But then you look at who they fought, and you're like, okay, well, this turd beat a turd, so, like, big deal, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I've always had to fight the toughest guys. You know, Pat Miletich for the title. I had to fight Diego Sanchez when he was undefeated, and I won that fight, but there was no way, unless I knocked him out, was the judges going to give it to me. I fought Thiago Alves, you know, these are all at 170, you know, and then I fought Shane Roller, who was, like you said, 3-time national champion, but and Mark Bocek on a week and a half notice. I cut from 195 to 55 in a week and a half. You know, I spent that whole week and a half trying to basically be bulimic so I could get to weight, you know, and you know, all that aside, you know, like maybe I should have done what a lot of fighters do when they get bad matchups. They just get magically hurt and pull out, like, you know, the Shane Roller fight. Maybe I should have been like, oh, this is just not a good matchup because this guy's not going to want to stand with me. He's going to just wrestle me. That's my so-called weakness. So, oh, Joe Silva, I'm injured, you know, and I know other fighters do it when they get these matchups. You're like, oh, man, why is that guy fighting that guy? And then 2 weeks later, he pulled out.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe I should have done that, but that's not who I am as a person or as a warrior. Like, you put the challenge in front of me, I'm going to try my best to be successful at that challenge, you know, but
yeah,
I think what it is.
I think that's a respectable thing that you do, though. I feel like I have the same type of mentality when it comes to fighting, too, though, man, like where I don't want to turn down a tough fight. And, you know, I think the UFC and Joe Silva and guys like that will always have a level of respect for you because you were that guy that they can go to. You know, you didn't turn it down. You took the tough fight, the short notice, and they'll always know you as that guy.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and I hope they do. You know, I mean, winless in there or not, you know, I feel like I did my best. And
I got nothing but respect for you, and I enjoy watching your fights, man. You always know that you're going to be in a fight, which is you know, amazing, which is a lot more than you can say for anybody. You've accomplished more than 99.9 times a million people out there. And I gotta say, though, it was funny. I was watching your YouTube video last night of your opening with Tracy Lee of the women's thrift store that you own in Vegas.
It's a yoga clothing store. Not a thrift store.
It's called
owns a Goodwill.
No. He owns the sweatshop. The sweatshop. That's what I meant. Like the sweatshop.
The thrift store. Yeah. Yeah. It's high end boutique, my friend.
Thrift store.
It's a sweatshop. But it's you and it's all these women in yoga pants, and which God, I think is like a fucking dream job. But it's pretty funny seeing you there, and then like Frank Trigg is commenting on women's clothing. And like Mike Pyle's like lost walking around in the background, and like it's pretty fucking funny. All these like fighters are like they're looking at the girls, these like hot chicks in yoga pants walking around. It's pretty damn funny. But how's that going, by the way?
Is it called a sweatshop because they got a bunch of Asians in the basement?
Yeah, I know, right? That's why it's called, you know, it's called the sweat store, but everybody just calls it the sweatshop because it kind of just rolls off your tongue, you know.
Oh,
what
sweat
I mean? Like,
store?
Yeah.
So yeah, this is sweat store. But, you know, everybody just calls it the sweatshop just because, you know, obviously, you know, the term sweatshop. But it's doing really good. Yeah. I mean, we're kicking butt. Really, really lucky, you know, that it's doing so well. We've only been in business for a year and a half. Our online sales are starting to do really good too. So we have, you know, our website and a brick and mortar location and doing really good. Our next step is to try to franchise it and start selling these stores. You know,
does your wife ever get mad at you like for checking girls out? Like, and like you're like, hey, how does this make my ass look fat? And you got to look, and because you work there, and then your wife hits you.
No, she says anything to make the sale.
There you go. I had the boner, baby.
Wow.
I had the boner. Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
And it's funny because I've actually had a few ladies like pretty much show me their breasts. So like one time I got a lady and she's an older lady with a decent body and some upgrades upstairs. And she's like basically opens the curtain and is like, only covering one boob, which I didn't understand. So she's got one hand over one boob, but one of the other boobs completely out. And she's like, "Oh, do you happen to have that shirt that I'm trying on in a medium or something?" I'm like, "Yeah, well, you know, I can't get to where I'm. Just give me 1 second and let me go grab it." You know, and I was like, "Holy moly! Like, does she realize that her one boob was out?" Sure. And then I come back. I'm like, "Oh, here, ma'am. Here's your shirt." And she just like opens the curtain wide open and just like standing there and like takes the shirt, you know, she's completely topless. And like, so now I'm thinking like, oh my God, is this like a cue that she like wants me to come into the change room and bang her or something? Like, what's going on here? I don't want to be the pervert. I'm trying to stare her in the eye, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, I got great peripheral vision, so I got to see it all. But
that's great.
It was odd, you know. But you know, of course, you know, I tell my wife afterwards, and she's all laughing. She thinks it's funny that, you know, like these older ladies are, you know, must think I'm attractive or something. And, showed me the good.
how much older? Like Rue McClanahan old? Or?
No, like I would say maybe like 42, 44, but like in shape, because you know all these ladies that come into our store are pretty much, you know, workaholics.
That's
in the
awesome.
Gym, you know, like
there's gonna be a line of people now that wanted to work and just like sweat stuff.
Right.
Now, I know you trained over at Extreme Couture back in the heyday, and I know that we've had people on the show talk about the time that Hendrix got knocked out by Baroni. Were you there that time?
I sure was there that day. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
we've heard funny. Different versions of the story. Will you tell us the quick version?
Well, I mean, Baroni put him to sleep with the right hand, and he was out cold doing the snoring gig, and then basically he totally forgot the day because the next day he came in, he thought that was his first day of practice at Extreme Couture.
Wow.
Johnny Hendrix.
Yeah, no, Johnny Hendrix. What happened was basically, Randy Couture forgot to tell you guys that Team Takedown was coming. So Team Takedown shows up, and it's you, Jay Haran, Baroni, and Mike Pyle, and then the guys from Team Takedown, which was like Johnny Hendrix, CB Dalloway, those guys show up, and you guys thought your gym was being like infiltrated, like they were just taking over your gym. Like, who the fuck are these guys? They didn't want to like train with you guys. Then all of a sudden, there was sparring. It's Johnny Hendrix versus Phil Baroni. Hendrix is throwing bombs just to kind of be, you know, just to whatever. And Baroni's like, fuck this. Just lays him out. And then you guys are like, oh! And then that's kind of what happened. Is that what happened?
That's pretty much, yeah. Like, Hendrix was going a little bit too hard. It's a little harder than you should, you know, when you're a brand new guy in the gym. You should show a little bit of respect. And he was trying to throw bombs. And yeah, Baroni was just like, no, this guy, this isn't going to happen. And, I mean, one thing Baroni has and still has to this day, you know, is power. Like, you've got to be careful. Baroni rang my bell one day that it didn't drop me, but I totally forgot that I had sparred. So we do, you know, everybody's heard of like the Shark Tank drill where, you spar and every 1 minute new guy's jumping on you.
Right,
and
right.
So we're doing our Shark Tank drills. And in the first round, I got hit with the right hand and finished my three rounds of Shark Tank. It was like Mike Pyle and Jay Huron and Baroni all doing their 1 minute gigs on me. And I get out of the ring and, you know, take my hand wraps off and stuff. And I'm sitting there and I see the guys all sparring in the ring. And I'm sitting there kind of a little confused going, oh man, I better get my hands wrapped. Like I'm late for practice kind of thing. And wow. I start wrapping my hands and Ron Frazier was the coach at the time. And I said, hey Ron, when am I jumping in? And he was like, ha 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 ha, you know, like laughing. And I was like, no, really. When am I going? And he's like, you already sparred. And I was like, no, I haven't. And so I started, you know, that then I started questioning myself, like, wait a minute.
I was like, "Are you sure?" And he's like, "Yeah, you're done, man. You went first." And I was like, "Yeah, I did." You know, and I'm like, "Holy crap, what's going on?" And by the time I started driving home, it all came back to me. And I was like, "Oh yeah, I totally remember sparring." But he had just rang my bell so bad that it like erased my whole memory of sparring.
Those are those gym concussions that you get time to time. Yeah,
I think that's what happened with what's his name, Mike Chandler, in his last fight in Bellator. I think that's what happened to him. Remember that fight against Will Brooks? You watched the fight this weekend?
I didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah, he got hit in the fourth round. He was winning the fight, and it was a pretty close fight. He got hit. It was pretty close. It was a pretty – you thought he was losing the fight?
Yeah.
It was a close fight, but he got hit. He got hit, and then you could just tell in his eyes that he looked up, and he was like, "Why is there a black guy coming at me right now wanting to punch me in the face?" He had that look.
He waved it off. He waved him off like, no. Get away from me.
Yeah.
And, it was a total look of confusion on his face that he just didn't remember, like, what was happening. And, part of it was that one punch that he ate, but he also kind of got dropped on his head a little bit right before that, if you noticed. And so I think the combination of him hitting his head on the mat and he gets back to his feet, he got cracked with a hook, and they walked away in like a state of confusion. Like, why is Will Brooks coming at me? Like, I think he almost thought like he won the fight, or like didn't realize the fight had started. It was really odd.
It was like, who is this guy coming at me right now?
Did we have a conversation? Yeah. We had a conversation with a fighter here that he said that he something happened during the fight where he got like knocked out or partially knocked out, and he really didn't come two until he was at the club later on that night.
It was Kevin Randleman told us
that's right. Yeah,
Randleman didn't know.
He's basically sleepwalking for like an hour, and then he gets to the after party, and he was like, "Holy shit! Where the fuck am I?
How did I get here?" He was in Japan. He was in Japan. Randleman didn't know where he was. Now, by the way, Bellator. Now we have you on the phone. You're in Bellator. I think that they put on a great show last week. I'm digging this whole TNA wrestling vibe, because I just think that it's ridiculous, but it's funny. I mean, when you have dancers coming out, and then you have fire behind you, and Tito Ortiz had singers, had these little schoolgirls singing, and then Bonner had a rapper named Stitches. I never heard of this rapper, or like a hardcore guy. I don't know who this guy was, but it was entertaining. You know what? I gotta say, I was entertained.
Production quality was pretty good. The TV screens and everything, the ring entrances, that was pretty exciting. It kind of had that like Pride or
Pride,
exactly, the Japan vibe.
Yeah, exactly, the Japan vibe, exactly.
However, looking at like the what they paid people, like they paid King Mo $10,000 for the fight, and he was like, the you know, some of these guys, maybe they could have put maybe one less TV screen and given him a little more money.
King Mo got $10,000.
$10,000.
And Tito walked away with
Tito got $300,000. Maybe they were going by like head ratio per dollar or something. But he got three.
I'm confused about that pay thing. This is where like, so hear me out here on this. So like, don't you remember like a year and a half ago when like Chandler signed that new contract with Bellator? Right. Everybody, it was the headlines were like Michael Chandler now the highest paid lightweight in MMA and all that stuff about him. So, and he only got $25,000. Well, that doesn't make him even close to the highest paid lightweight. So, there must be some money that we're not seeing or that's not getting recorded, like on those. And same thing with King Mo. I don't see him winning. He won that fight and making $10,000. I see maybe 10 and 10, but that's still like a stretch for. You know, like if he only got $10,000 to win that fight, I'm making more than King Mo in Bellator.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So, I'm confused by the pays there. I don't get it.
Yeah, there must be some undisclosed bonuses that they're getting, but I don't even know why they would say that he only got paid $10,000 and then say that Tito got paid $300,000. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, who released that? I mean, did like Dana release that? that was really strange. I'll tell you one thing though, I did not see the Melvin Manhoef fight going that way.
Wow,
Joe Schilling.
Neither did I.
that was crazy.
I mean, Joe Schilling was like 1-3 in MMA. I guess I don't really follow Glory Kickboxing, but he's a big star in kickboxing. That's what everyone says.
Yeah, and you know that finishing punch that he did. He's actually an orthodox fighter, so it makes it his left hook. But he switches stances and he throws the right hook from southpaw stance, and that's what he did when he beat in the Glory tournament. He knocked out
Simon Phoenix.
Simon Marcus. He knocked out Simon Marcus in the fourth round. It was a huge knockout, and it was no fluke because he did the same thing to Manoff, and that was a crazy knockout, man. Well deserved for Schilling.
Yeah, there were some. It wasn't a good weekend for former UFC guys coming over. If you look at like Nam Phan got annihilated by Mike Richmond, who's a Marine. You look in the World Series of Fighting, Yushin Okami lost, Melvin Gillard lost after not making weight and calling it a B-League. It just wasn't a good weekend for UFC guys. But that's just how talented MMA guys are in general. The best guys can beat anybody on any given night, you know. And that's just how you know, which I think is good. I think competition is good, right?
Yeah.
John, are you still here? Hello?
We lose him.
I was like, he's awfully quiet.
Perfect time to wrap up the show.
Can we call John back and just give him a... I like this guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Where's the store located? We should ask him that.
I don't plug it.
That's right.
I got disconnected there somehow.
Yeah, yeah. No, we lost you for a second. Okay, so we talked about...
Schilling and Menoff.
We talked about Schilling. I was saying that it wasn't the greatest weekend for UFC vets between Nam Phan and Melvin Gillard and Yushin Okami and guys who came over.
That's true. The back to the Menoff fight, that guy he either wins by knockout or he loses by knockout, eh?
It's true, man. Yeah, he's a banger.
So who do you want to fight next?
Man, yes. You know, I don't know. So here's where I'm at with the whole like Bellator thing right now. I really tried to get on this last card. You know, they just kept telling me there was no room and this and that. But then I see some of these dudes that they had on the card, and it kind of bothers me. It's like, well, why the fuck was this guy on the card? You know, he's growing some bitch titties, and he sucks. And I told him I'd go to 45. I'd fight at 55. I'll fight a guy at 70. I wanted to fight, you know, and couldn't get on there. And then Will Brooks just keeps making me look better and better all the time. You know, my only loss is to Will Brooks in Bellator, and you know, he beat Michael Chandler twice. And I just feel like I'm not getting the respect that I deserve. One, for just being the fighter who I've been over my career, that I deserve a little bit of love, and for I'm doing decent in Bellator, so why am I not getting a bigger fight, a fight that that I can really try to shine in and a good matchup? But since things have changed over to Scott Coker, I just feel like I kind of got lost in the mix so far, and I don't know what's happening or what, so I don't know who I want to fight, but I want to fight somebody, and I've got a lot of anger built up, so I'm ready to explode on somebody.
All right. So if you're listening to this, give John Alessio a fight. Put him on a main card. Make him some money. The guy deserves it. Right. Worked his ass off. So where can people find you, John Alessio?
Oh, they can find me at John Alessio 79 on Twitter, and same thing for Instagram, John Alessio 79. If they're in Vegas, they should come check out my clothing store and get your lady or yourself something new. We do have a men's section as well. That's the Sweat Store. Our Instagram and Twitter is the Sweat Store LV. Follow us and check us out on there, or check out the sweatstore.com. That's my new passion as well as fighting, working on the business with my wife. Other than that, don't find me. Stay away from me and just leave me alone.
is all your clothes original designs, or are you like resale?
We carry like about 25 different brands out there. All our brands are made in the U.S. Most of them are made in California, actually.
Nice. Out of Merch One?
Pardon me?
Oh, never mind. I was asking about the company making your clothes. Where's your store located, the brick and mortar?
It's Flamingo and the 215. There's an LVAC gym right up here off of Flamingo and the 215. We're located pretty much right beside them. And if you've been to Vegas, you've probably heard of the Greens and Protein restaurant. We're basically right. We're next door neighbors to Greens and Protein. So we're in a real cool little like health fitness area. You know, we have the LVAC, we have Greens and Protein, we have Function Juicery, which is like a cold pressed juice place. We have a restaurant called the Protein Source, which is also like a really healthy restaurant, and you know, a couple of yoga studios right around here. So this whole little area is, you know, very California-ish, I say, because you know, a lot of California is like way ahead of Las Vegas when it comes to really good places to eat that are healthy and you know, yoga and fitness and outdoors in general.
Nice.
Well, thank you. Thanks, John, for coming on the show. Love to have you back. And you're a great man. And have a great rest of the day.
Yeah, you too, guys. Thanks, like I said, Alan, I thought you won your last fight. I hope you get a good matchup in your next go at it. And yeah, man, you're a tough young up-and-comer. It's fun to watch you fight. And everybody take care. And Adam, next time you're in Vegas, let me know. I want to come see your show. Or are you performing in L.A. soon or what?
Yeah, I'm in L.A. Almost every night, but I'm going to be in Vegas on New Year's Eve with T-Rex the whole week.
What up?
So
come out and check it out. It's going to be a ball.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, so I'll definitely let you know.
Appreciate that, John.
Sounds good, brother.
All right,
guys.
Later.
Hope not a problem, Alan. You guys take care.
Take care. All right, well, I think that'll wrap it up. Quick predictions this week. Frankie Edgar, Cub Swanson.
You first.
Damn, it's a tough one, man. I'm going to go ahead and say Frankie Edgar.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not saying that with utmost confidence, but I'm going to say.
I don't know, man. It's such a back and forth, you know, fight.
But Frankie Edgar's just been through so many wars, and he's like the real-life Rocky. I don't know, but Cub Swanson's freaking beast.
I'm calling a draw.
Are you?
It seems like it'll be a draw.
It's gonna be a draw.
I think you know Frankie's got that quick boxing style, but what's his name? Who's he fighting?
Cub Swanson.
Swanson's gonna be better on the feet, but if Swanson can stay on his feet, keep stuff in the takedowns, and then maybe he can edge out of victory. But it's gonna be a back and forth fight for sure.
Okay, Bobby Green, Barboza.
Oh, Bobby Green. Shit! This is an exciting fight, dude. Bobby Green's got something about him, man. Been watching him for a while. He's got something where he just like gets right in range and calls guys out. Barboza's just a killer, so
yeah, he's speed kills. So Barboza has that going for him. But I think Bobby Green's on a tear right now.
I'm picking Bobby Green. He's gonna talk the entire time too.
Exactly. I think if Bobby Green can kind of weather the storm and get inside of Barboza's head, and then he could do what he does best. So,
I mean, Bobby beat Josh.
He beat
Josh. What's his name? Thompson. On 2 weeks' notice. I mean, it was close fight, but it was still, you know. All right, Brad Pickett versus Chico Camus.
Pickett.
All right, good. There we go. And then Joseph Benavidez versus Dustin Ortiz.
Benavidez.
Yeah, too much experience, I think.
Matt Wyman. Me too. I'm going that versus Isaac Valiflag.
I like Isaac.
I like Isaac too.
Is that? Handsome
Matt Wyman, yeah.
been around a while. I'm gonna go with the handsome one.
The handsome one,
because you like handsome.
Just because handsome guy, yeah. I root for him.
You can relate.
Luke Barnett versus Roger Navarez. Barnett.
You going with Barnett?
Obviously.
I know you are.
Yes.
Make that three.
Yves Edwards versus Akbar Areola.
I'm a big fan of Areola's, but Areola's going to have a bad time.
I'm familiar with Eve, so let's go with Eve.
Yeah, me too. I never heard of Akbar. James Vick against Nick Hine. Nick Hine is actually a guy from Germany. Interesting guy. He's a big sitcom star in Germany.
Really?
Big movie star, action star. He's huge. Like, they love him over there. I think he's.
It's almost like a hassle.
Everybody's huge in Germany. Why is it? Go to Germany and blow up.
But I like James Vick. He's 6-0. He's basically like 8'2" or something, 155. I like James. Good boxer, tough guy. But Nick Hine is no joke. I'm going with James. Paige VanZant against Kate. If you haven't seen Paige, she's like 19 years old. Adorable, beautiful girl. I mean, like, could be like a model. Well, it's gonna be so short, but she might be the hottest girl in the UFC. Taking on Kaylin Curran. Have you seen her yet?
No.
Paige VanZant?
Is there any relation to what's the name, VanZant from the E Street Band?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly who it is.
The boss?
It's Paige VanZant. I'll show you a picture of her.
E.
Paige VanZant. She actually was going to be on the Ultimate Fighter, but she was too young. They wouldn't let her on because she was too young. This is her.
Wow.
Yeah, right? I mean, she's adorable.
She is. Wow.
Doesn't look like a much of a fighter. I mean, it looks like a. I mean, not look. I mean, she's a fighter, but doesn't look like she's, you know, a teen star or something. But yeah, so I'm going for Paige. I heard she's pretty good too. Do you know anything about her as far as how good she is?
Yeah, she's 3-1, I think. She trained at Alpha Male for a while. Let's say a little bit about her.
Hmm. She's a hottie.
Her opponent ain't bad either.
Yeah. Bad looking or bad as
bad
far
looking.
As really?
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Well. All right, well, I'm going for Paige based on the fact.
Victor is going to be the audience via scissors.
Well, thanks, appreciate it. All right, we got to take. All right, now, that is our show. Where can people find you, Alan?
Twitter, I think all my handles are pretty much the same, at Alan Joban, AlanJoban. And yeah, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Same with me, Todd Rex, TODDREXX, Twitter, Facebook, and ToddRex.com. I'll be at Inside Jokes this Saturday.
Nice.
And then at Sean Latham's thing down in Long Beach next Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just putting that out there now because by the time we know.
All right, right. I will be – you can follow me at MMA Roasted or at Adam Comedian. I will be at Laughs in Toledo, Laughs Comedy Club, and I'm gonna have my tooth back. By the way, I'm getting my tooth back.
Lost and found.
No, I'm going right now to the dentist to get my tooth, my implant in. I can't wait for that. And then I'm gonna be at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, Arkansas, the following week.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I will see you guys there. Thank you so much. Take care, guys. Enjoy your week. Enjoy your life. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Drive fast and take a lot of chances.
Yes. Bye.
Cheers.